Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com sitting in for one more hour tonight. We'll be back tomorrow with the vice presidential debate. Going to carry just about all of that if we can. Followed by a bloggers roundtable where we say to hell with Wolf Blitzer. To hell with Chris Matthews. We got our own experts. We don't need you losers. Our experts will be a bloggers roundtable. David Dayen from Calitics and Digby. Hullabaloo. Marcy Wheeler from Empty Wheel. Mark Danziger from windsofchange.net. He blogs as Armed Liberal. Pamela Levy from TheDemocraticDaily.com. Of course, myself from BradBlog.com. And one brave right-winger, a fellow by the name of Patrick Fry, Paterico. Looking forward to that discussion. What could possibly go wrong in that debate tomorrow? I'm going to play you some audio here from Sarah Palin in a second, who needs to stop speaking to Katie Couric. Really, she does. But anyway, let me get a quick question here. Oh, I should have mentioned, by the way, RoveCybergate.com. That's the address where you can follow along with this case in Ohio with Cliff Arnebeck that we were speaking about last time. You can see some extraordinary videos from Stephen Spoonamore, the Republican cybersecurity expert, who he's got some extraordinary things to say about the electronic voting system in Ohio, the way it was run out there. RoveCybergate.com. Let's get in some quick questions, and then, yeah, Sarah Palin coming up. Barry in Indiana, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Listen, I got you answered the first question I had, is where do we go to get more information to help investigate this deal going on in Ohio? And
yes, please.
What can the voting concerned public do to assist or donate these folks trying to bring these people to justice?
Well, thank you for asking. You can donate over at RoveCybergate.com, and it's a campaign put together by VelvetRevolution.us. And I should, full disclosure here, I am a co-founder of VelvetRevolution.us, but you can donate there or via RoveCybergate.com to help support this effort, to help support the legal effort out there in Ohio. Voters and Democrats, progressives, even Republicans who give a damn about the rule of law and the Constitution need to realize they need to stand up and fight for their government. They need to fight to get their democracy back. It's not going to happen just by magic here. You've got to show up. You got to fight. You got to donate. You got to help these causes, because I promise you, the Republican bad guys are doing it plenty. Give us a call, 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Let's go down to Fort Lauderdale. There we go. Shirley in Fort Lauderdale, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Oh, Shirley. Oh, I can hear me. You need to turn down your radio, Shirley. I know you were on the air for on hold for a while. I appreciate that, but turn down the. Are you still there, Shirley? Oh, Shirley. All right. Oh well, we will. We'll try to get back to Shirley in a second. Let me play some of this. Sarah Palin. This is unbelievable. She keeps talking to Katie Couric. I don't know what she's thinking. Des, have you heard these Sarah Palin?
Yes, they're rather scary.
The abortion one, right?
Oh no, I didn't hear
the abortion
one. No.
Oh brother. All right. Well, I've cut these into two pieces. They're both real short. They speak for themselves, I think, but I may have to speak over them. Here we go. Sarah Palin talking to Katie Couric on CBS.
If a 15-year-old is raped by her father, you believe it should be illegal for her to get an abortion. Why?
I am pro-life, and I'm unapologetic about my position there on pro-life, and I understand good people on both sides of the abortion debate. Now, I would counsel to choose life. I would like to see a culture of life in this country, but I would also like to see taking it one step further, not just saying I am pro-life and I want fewer and fewer abortions in this country, but I want then those women who find themselves in circumstances that are absolutely less than ideal, for them to be supported, for
less
adoptions to be made easier.
But ideally, you think it should be illegal for a girl who is raped or the victim of incest to get an abortion.
I'm saying that personally, I would counsel that person to choose life.
No, you wouldn't counsel it.
Horrific, horrific circumstances that this person would find themselves in. And if you're asking, though, kind of foundationally here, should anybody end up in jail for having had an abortion? Absolutely not. That's nothing that I would ever support.
So she would counsel to choose life.
In other
words,
the person gets a choice.
Well, that's right. Choose life. And she would counsel that. Now, that's not what she would like to do. She would like to make it illegal. That's not a choice. You know, and the same thing came up when it turned out that her daughter, Bristol, was pregnant. Remember her statement? She said, oh, I'm proud of the choice that Bristol made.
Again, she gave her daughter
apparently a choice. Bristol had a choice, and the fact that she refers to a father who rapes his 15-year-old daughter as, what was it, circumstances that are less than ideal. Is that just me?
No.
She wouldn't counsel it. She would like to make it illegal, and it continues. It gets worse. Here's what here's where Katie Couric picks it up.
Some people have credited the morning after pill as for decreasing the number of abortions. How do you feel about the morning after pill?
Well, I'm all for contraception, and I'm all for any preventative measures that are legal and safe and should be taken. But, Katie, again, I am one to believe that life starts at the moment of conception. And
I would like to see
fewer and fewer abortions in this world. And, again, I haven't spoken with anyone who disagrees with my position on that.
I'm sorry, I just want to ask you again, do you condone or condemn the morning after pill?
Personally, and this isn't a McCain-Palin policy.
Mm-hmm. No, that's okay, I'm just asking you.
But personally, I would not choose to participate in that kind of contraception.
She would not choose to participate. Again, the choice. But she's talking about contraception. She believes. Did you understand that?
Wait, she says she wouldn't choose to participate in the choice if she were raped. She would not. Is that what she's talking about?
Well, yes,
confused.
It comes out of the rape question, but no, she's saying the morning after pill. She believes life begins at conception, but she has no problem with the morning after pill. Can you do the math on that?
No.
Is it me? Am I wrong? Am I missing something? Jason, does it make any sense to you?
I think she needs to learn how to answer questions.
I'll tell you what, Richard Vigory, and you give us a call, by the way, if you have a thought on Sarah Palin, 800-989-1480. Richard Vigory had this to say about Sarah Palin, and I think it's great. I completely agree. Richard Vigory is another one of these conservative founding fathers. They actually call him the funding father because he sort of invented this whole direct mail scheme. Anyway, I kind of like Richard Vigory. I've interviewed him before, but he's an unapologetic right winger. He says he put out an article that says "Unleash Sarah Palin," and I concur. John McCain may have one chance left, says Vigory, to win this election. The chairman of conservativehq.com, Richard Vigory, said, quote, "He must free Sarah Palin to go after Barack Obama and the liberal Democrats, or he will almost certainly lose." The McCain campaign has put this pit bull with lipstick on a leash. The campaign has surrounded her with people from the Bush administration, and as we can see from the wreckage of the Bush presidencies, these folks don't have the slightest clue how to make a case to the American people. So, says Vigory, McCain has to get rid of these Bush people around Palin, along with the lobbyists and the folks from Washington, replace them with principled conservatives, blah, 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 who can make the case for conservatism. And let's see, where does he say? But the liberals are making this election about the record of the Bush administration and the GOP leadership in Congress. Ironically, a record of cronyism and big government. That's why they're ahead. But only Governor Palin can change that. She brings together all the types of conservatives, economic conservatives, religious conservatives, libertarians, value voters, blah, blah, blah. And she appeals to Americans in the center. That's why the left hates her, said McCain. Must remember why he picked Governor Palin and unleash her to do what she does best. I say yes, unleash her. Let her talk to as many people as possible, as many media as possible. I would love to hear from Sarah Palin every day. Please make my day. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. More of your calls next. Stick with us. Welcome back to the Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. Green news coming up after the bottom of the hour. Desi Doyen, you ready with the green news? You got the green news? Don't let me forget the green news.
Okay.
I forgot the green news last time when I was on with Randy. There we go. 800-989-1480. Give us a call. Move On is calling for an apology from Tom Brokaw. If you saw last Sunday's Meet the Press, Brokaw ended the segment. It was a debate between a McCain strategist and an Obama strategist, and he said, in fairness to everybody here, the latest NBC Wall Street Journal poll found that John McCain continues to lead Barack Obama on the question of who is best equipped to be commander-in-chief. Problem is, Tom Brokaw was lying. In fact, Nicole Bell over at Crooks and Liars pointed out that the numbers Brokaw read did not, in fact, appear in the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll. In fact, they were from weeks ago, a poll that was taken right after the Republican convention, right and well before Friday's big national security debate. And in each of NBC's last two polls, Americans choose Obama over McCain. So Brokaw should apologize. There's that damn liberal media for you. Let's go to Brad, another Brad down there in Miami. Hey, Brad, welcome to the Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
I'm fine, Brad. You?
Good, man. You know what? I'm a progressive and voting Democrat, as I usually do. But you know what? I wonder sometimes, do we serve ourselves well when we deal so much with the abortion issue, with fringe issues like abortion and homosexuality, which are really not going to change much, no matter who's in the presidency?
Well, no, and it's not a matter of dealing with the abortion issue. This came up. It was Katie Couric asked about it, her answer saying that she believes that people should choose life. Well, she doesn't believe people should choose life, Sarah Palin doesn't. She wants to, you know, mandate what they can choose and not choose. She wants to choose, you know. I don't think anybody's making an issue of this, other than Sarah Palin, who apparently doesn't even understand how it goes. Let's go to Kevin in West Virginia. Kevin in West Virginia, welcome to the Malloy Show.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm okay. What's up, Kev?
Hey, I just wanted to go back to Sarah Palin. I was listening just a little bit ago.
Yeah.
And is it just me, or does this woman scare the hell out of anybody else? I mean, she's could be a heartbeat away from being president.
That's right. She should be scariest. I mean, we're going to have a right-winger in here tomorrow on the debate. I'll ask him, would you vote for this woman for president? Because that's essentially what you're doing. And thanks for the call, Kevin. That's essentially what you're doing when you vote for John McCain. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, although I might tell you who not to vote for. This is the most irresponsible, unbelievable. Laura Bush even said that she did not have the foreign policy experience to be president. Kathleen Parker at the National Journal called for her to drop from the ticket, said it was a colossal mistake. George Will has said it was a mistake. David Brooks says it's embarrassing. And yet, John McCain, with all of his experience, has chosen this woman. It's terrifying. John and Charlotte, welcome to the Malloy Show.
Yeah, I was kind of confused on the morning after when she was talking about that.
Yeah.
And
she was confused too, John.
She was? What was she confused about?
Well, she seemed to be saying that she wouldn't choose the morning after pill, but she's in favor of contraception. But the morning after pill is for the morning after. And so if she believes that life begins at conception, then it doesn't seem like she should be in favor of the morning after pill. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's okay. Yeah, that cleared it up, because that's exactly what she said. She said she wouldn't be able to choose that kind of contraception.
Well, she no, she's
that, and that didn't. Yes, she did. If you replay it,
she said she wouldn't choose it.
Exactly.
She wouldn't choose it.
So now I'm a pro-choicer.
Okay, that's fine.
So if she wouldn't choose that type of contraception, that does not contradict her belief that life begins at inception. It actually backs it up if you think about it.
But she said that life begins at conception,
right.
But she believes in contraception.
It happened the night before.
She
wouldn't be able to participate
right.
in the morning after pill, which enforces her beliefs, which she actually walks like she talks.
But she...
That's scary to a lot of people, isn't it?
Well, no. What's scary is that she's completely unqualified to be the vice president or the president of the United States. In fact, what she said was she believes, she asked quite directly about the morning after pill. Do you believe in the morning after pill? And she said, yes, I believe in all forms of contraception. And Katie Couric tried to call her on it, and I'm running up against the clock, so I can't play it again, but tried to call her on it and said, well, then you wouldn't believe in the morning after pill if you believe that life begins at conception. I think Sarah Palin's confused. Nonetheless, glad to hear that they're tuning in out there in Charlotte. And hey, whatever you believe, speak up, vote your mind. I just want to make sure that you get to vote and that your vote gets counted and counted accurately. That would be a nice change of pace. And what's going to happen this year, I'm afraid, is going to be one hell of a meltdown. So please, people, bring your video cameras. Make noise. Get out there when you go to the polls. Make sure that people can vote. Make sure that you vote. And make sure that your candidate sign the StandingForVoters.org pledge so they don't concede this time around. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Stick with us.
It's not easy being green. It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things.
Uh-huh.
And people tend to pass you over because you're not standing out like flashy sparkles in the water or stars in the sky.
Yes, that's our lovely theme music for our Green News Report. A report that we started doing when we were working with our friends... John Scott down at Green 960, up in Green 960 in San Francisco. We started doing the Green News Report whenever we sit in, and the lovely Desi Doyen is here. There's your theme song.
I know.
Aren't
actually,
you
kind of surprised me. I was in the middle of doing something else.
You were busy? Yeah. All right. Well, we got our Green News Report. We got a lot to cover.
Yes, let me get to it really quick. Okay, so Reuters is reporting that U.S. drivers are driving less, which is not surprising considering the price of gas, but it's the ninth straight month of miles being less. I would try to figure out.
And down in Atlanta, they have to drive less because there's no gas. They've run out of gas
in
town.
Well, I know, and you're jumping ahead of me. But, you know, the gas shortage, now I'll go ahead and go to that, it's slowly easing this week. I don't know if any of you were alive in the 70s, but, you know, it was pretty bad back then. And basically what happened is that Georgia's governor, Sonny Perdue, had actually written a letter to President Bush to ask him to authorize a release from the nation's strategic petroleum reserve because the supply chain was completely disrupted.
Sonny Perdue, the chicken magnate?
No, I think you're thinking Tyson.
Oh.
No,
it's Perdue Chicken.
Is he the same guy? I didn't know that.
He's the chicken impresario.
Are you sure he's the same guy, though?
No, I don't
know. Okay, well, he's the governor. Anyway, he wrote a letter. Yeah. Bush said, yeah, okay, so the Strategic Petroleum Reserve has given them 900,000 more barrels of crude oil for a total of 5.7 million since September 3rd.
And that's where is that?
This is for Georgia. That was the
Georgia. Oh, for Georgia,
governor.
Where they were.
Yeah,
okay,
and basically the supply chain was disrupted because of Hurricane Gustav and Ike, you know, but right now it's not going to help that much because that's only crude oil. They still have to send it to the refineries, and there are still most of the refineries are still are coming online.
But it has
right
helped
now
to ease the pressure on the oil and the
Yeah, it has helped the shortages going on there. They are getting, you know, they're trucking in from other areas.
So is that a good
areas,
thing that George Bush did?
Is it a good thing? Yeah. I suppose for the drivers of Atlanta, it's a good thing.
I just wanted to point out, because, you know, 8 years now he's been in there, and I haven't been able to come up with a good thing yet. So
well,
when something happens, I'd like to say, oh, that was
he
good
He was able to help some people out, and that's, you know, that is a good thing.
There you go. See how low the bar is?
Yeah.
By the way, his approval rating, all-time low on Gallup, 27% approve of him now.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, isn't that an improvement lately?
No, not for Gallup. It's an all-time low for USA Today Gallup.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought he was actually lower.
But that's hardly green news. And
that's
so this
not.
Is your segment.
Well,
I'm trying to
get to as many things as quickly as I can. So climate change threatens to kill off up to, a third of the planet's species by the end of this century if urgent action isn't taken to restore fragile ecosystems.
Says who?
Says scientists at a wildlife summit that opened today in Florida. It's sponsored by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. They called the summit to learn how to best protect Florida's wildlife and natural resources, especially because Florida is so reliant upon tourism. So they're trying to make sure that they have ways to, because, you know, the warming oceans and rising sea levels and, you know, hunting and fishing and all of that goes on around there. They're saying that there is a ray of hope, however. We haven't lost all opportunity. We still have time if we act now. One of the things that they want to do that they're recommending is creating wildlife pathways so that animals can move freely north as temperatures rise, which they are going to do, because animals cannot move quite as quickly or adapt quite as quickly as humans can.
So the Florida Fish and Game is talking about making these pathways?
Yes.
To allow for...
Well, these are what the scientists that came to the summit. Now, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, they're the ones that hosted the summit. They're the ones that care about this. So I don't know if they're going to be able to get these things passed, but that's what the scientists
what
are recommending
Crist
that
to
they
say,
do.
Governor Charlie
we
Crist
don't know. I don't think he's actually issued a statement on that yet.
Well, he hasn't been given his marching orders yet.
Yes, indeed. And one of the other things that I wanted
Kane
to say was that the... Oh, where did it go? You know how people have been talking about how windmills and stuff have... you know, they're afraid that they're going to... You know, birds are going to run into them, that, oh, you can't have windmills. I swear, this is a problem that people bring up all the time.
They say we don't want windmill because windmills
exactly.
and birds are going to fly
yes,
into
they're
it?
Like,
it's a hazard?
It is a hazard. Okay. It has been a hazard in the past. But a new study out of Britain is saying that actually they've discovered it's not as bad as it used to be, that birds, you know, there used to be a collision problem and also, you know, disruption of the habitat while you actually install all the windmills.
Right.
So they actually, this study, they said, okay, now we know that the new style of windmills, they're taller, they're not as low to the ground, and they're also spread further apart. And they've also discovered the utility of putting the windmills in a place where birds are not going to migrate through.
How would they know how to do that?
Well, they do a study on the birds. They figure out where the birds are where their migratory paths are, and then they don't put the windmills there.
But what if that's where the wind is?
Well, it might be where the wind is, but they have other ways of also mitigating that. Well, because they say that, you know, like the ones that you see in the Palm Springs, the San Gior, I can't pronounce it, but the pass where all the windmills are outside of Palm Springs.
Yes.
That area is very old. That was put together, I think they said in the
80s. Okay, well, you wouldn't want to put it where migratory, like where hundreds of birds. Do we have a situation where hundreds and hundreds of birds have flown into
No, it's not like that at all. It's basically,
the windmills I've seen are all white. It would be a gory, it would be a...
It would really you'd be able to tell, but no, it's not such a great problem that you'd have some sort of mass killing of birds all at once. All that would, I'm sure people would have noticed.
Because I'll be against the windmills if that's what if it's going to be killing birds in mass.
Well, I just wanted to say also that federal wildlife officials have asked a judge in Montana to put gray wolves in the Northern Rockies back on the endangered species list. It's a total reversal from February because back when the government was saying that the animals were doing so well that they could be taken off the list completely. But since the protection was lifted, over 180 gray wolves have been shot. Now,
really?
It's in 7 months out of a total population of 1,500. So we're talking over 10%. People were getting a little hunting happy, I guess, down there.
They're
so
just they're not hunting. Are they just shooting them?
Well, they're
what?
Shooting them for sport. And also, of course, you know, there's a very strong, you know, mix between the livestock and wolves. And that is something that is a problem for the ranchers. I think that they also get some sort of compensation from the government if they lose livestock.
So they've got dispensation now that...
Yes. Oh, in fact, the same judge.
They're off the list. Now they can just go out and shoot them willy-nilly as much as they want.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, this judge, however, This is
Sarah Palin's got to be happy about it.
Well, there's
that.
Another Sarah Palin story in here, too. Okay. So this was in February was when they were the government said take them off the list. The same judge in July said put an injunction on they were going to actually have a public hunt. They were going to get a group of people together and let them go out and hunt together and kill all these wolves. But the judge said, no, you can't do that. We're going to put an injunction on this. We're going to study this and make sure that we are doing right by the wolves.
Why were they going to have a public hunt? Just for fun?
Yeah, I think
get a posse? A wolf posse together?
I think so.
Let's see. What state was it?
That was in Montana. But it was also covering, you know, all the northern Rockies. So we're talking Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, those places.
Wolf posse.
Yeah. So moving on. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed legislation yesterday that establishes new incentives discouraging sprawl in the state of California in future decades. Now, it's kind of an iffy kind of legislation. He has balanced the needs between...
Urban sprawl.
Well, basically, you know, what happens is that instead of building in town, you know, with old buildings, rehabilitating old old areas, they actually tend to spread out.
Right.
Instead, incentives are, you know, in the suburbs to make it easier for builders to go out to the suburbs and build.
Right.
So now what they're going to do is implement a series of incentives to help encourage home builders to build in town. Instead of out of town, and they get incentives to build high density housing, you know, in commercial areas.
So that's a good thing, right?
That's a very good thing. The only problem with this legislation, though, is that in order to create these incentives, one of the things that they've done is they have eased some of the environmental restrictions, so that you know, it's good
for urban sprawl. It's bad for the environment.
It wouldn't necessarily be bad for the environment. It just means that there will be fewer and lesser restrictions upon these home builders. Now, commercial real estate guys did not get this, and they're also angry about that. They opposed the bill because they either want to get the same incentives to build in town rather than out of town that the homeowners got.
Well, the less restrictions, the less regulations from government, the big government, the better.
You know,
what could possibly go wrong?
There are so many competing interests. There are lots of
regulations.
I know. That's what many
people
believe.
It's not like we'd have to come in with $700 billion and bail them out.
Yes, because we know how well that goes. Oh, but the other thing I didn't get to mention, Port of L.A., Port of L.A. and Long Beach, those are the largest port in the United States, busiest cargo port. Now, they've just implemented a clean air program where they're going to actually phase out older trucks. Now, one of the things is the Palin story. She actually wrote to Schwarzenegger and said, please don't pass this bill because all of Alaska, you know, we don't have roads, so we get all of our residents get most of their stuff through cargo that is shipped here, so you're going to increase the tax on those trucks. To get them phased out, you're going to cause me a problem and all of my people problems. Like, well, what about that road to nowhere that she wanted? Why didn't she build some roads for her people?
Yeah, park the trucks out there. The hell with her. Desi Doyen with the Green News Report. You're back on Friday, right, with the Green News Report?
Yes, okay, all right.
And I think we're going to try to get John Gideon of Daily Boating News right after this. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad in for Malloy, 44 minutes after the hour.
What is love? And the evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter.
No, you won't go telling anybody that. You won't go tell me that.
And it's not worth fighting for.
We're going to fight for it. Tooth and nail between now and November 4th, and I have a feeling sometime after that, the man who will be joining me and you in that fight, John Gideon of VotersUnite.org, on the late shift tonight. Hey, John, welcome to the show. Oh, I got to hit him. There we go. Wait a minute. You got him? Hey, John.
Hello.
How are you, sir? Thanks for jumping in late for us. I know it was a huge day today. All kinds of meltdowns going on all around the country, John, and I wanted to get a quick rundown before we finish up tonight's show.
Sure.
What's out there today?
Well, and these are our new issues, stuff that I hadn't even talked to you about.
Oh, bro.
We've got right now in Missoula County, Montana, the head of the state Republican Party, is challenging the registration of more than 3,400 county voters on the grounds that they don't live where they say they do.
Okay.
That's all got to be worked out. And all of this is happening to the county at the same time that they're trying to process over 12,000 absentee ballots, get them out, and
to send to the voters, the 12,000 absentee ballots. And another challenging 3,400 voters. Okay.
That's right. And in Illinois today, this afternoon, a judge ordered the state to scrap all of their ballots and start all over again. This is just, less than five weeks from the election.
Why? What's wrong with the ballots?
Apparently, the judge... Somebody was not happy with the wording of one of the initiatives that was on the statewide initiative on the ballot, and took it to court. The judge agreed that it wasn't honest, and the wording needed to be
changed. Are they
going to
be able to reprint those and send them out absentee in time?
That's the question I've got too. This is going to be a huge problem in Illinois, statewide. They've got to do something. I don't know that the printers are going to be able to handle it, and of course. Many of those printers have contracts with the main vendors, ES&S, Sequoia, and so forth.
And Diebold.
Washington, D.C., they're going to have a big hearing tomorrow, including Sequoia, the voting system company that provides the machines to Washington, D.C., to discuss the meltdown that happened in their primary, and to figure out how there were 15,000, I believe it was a number.
Phantom votes, right?
Votes counted in one precinct where most of the other precincts averaged around 10 votes.
Showed up from nowhere, and our old friends at Sequoia voting machine.
They deny that it could at all be their system. Michelle Schaefer said no.
She's the spokeswoman for Sequoia.
Right. Mm-hmm. I suspect that the answer is yes.
She's a liar. And who's next? What else you got?
Let's see.
I'll say it. Yeah.
A report from Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
They ran, this is Palm Beach County, Florida, where they had their primary, and then they had to revote or recount it.
Because there was a close race, and they couldn't, there was thousands of extra ballots, then not enough, and whatever.
That's right. Okay. And they lost ballots, and then they found the ballots, and it's just been a real mess. 7 recounts. They finally did another recount. Using just a set number of ballots, 262 ballots, ran them through 2 different machines.
Yeah.
And the machines rejected different numbers, but in the end, between the rejected ones, they had to hand count, and the machine counts, the vote totals remained the same.
So, wait a minute. So they ran the same ballots through different machines, and they got different results.
Yeah.
Nice. John Gideon of VotersUnite.org. You check out daily voting news every day. You can sign up, have it delivered to your email, or you can come by bradblog.com. And there's a nice big box on the right side of every single page. It says dailyvotingnews.org. I'm sorry, it says Daily Voting News. And it gives you all of these stories that the mainstream corporate media is not putting together. They're not connecting the dots. John Gideon is. Thank you, John, for all you do.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
See you, bud.
All right, let me see if I can get in a couple of quick calls here. We're right up against the wall, but I want to try. Let's see, James in Victorville, California. James, there we go. Victorville, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Quickly.
I know why that Palin was picked.
Why is that?
It's when John McCain kicks the bucket, they need a president that makes George Bush look smart.
Yeah, well, they got her. Thanks for the call, James.
Yeah, one other thing. Before the debate, I just want to know if they were going to check her for an earbug.
What is that? Oh, for the back bulge thing.
Yeah, the back bulge and earbug.
She's it's going to be interesting. We'll be there tomorrow with a whole bunch of bloggers here afterwards, giving you the real scoop. Thanks, James. Appreciate
and also listening.
The... Thank you, sir. Great to have you. All right, let's see. Barbara, I'm going to get through all of these, whether it kills me. Barbara in Madison, Wisconsin. Barbara in Madison, Wisconsin. You got 30 seconds. What do you got?
I wanted to say that if you listen carefully to what Palin is saying,
yeah,
she keeps saying choice.
Right.
That the neocons, the Republicans, don't want to give women a choice.
That's right.
They want other people to make the choice for women.
Exactly.
So if you're pro-choice, you want to be able to choose when you have a child.
Right.
And when you're, if you're pro-life, which is what they call themselves, that means that they, other people want to choose for you. And the interesting thing is if those people were really pro-life, they would fight as hard as they're fighting against the abortion issue, they would fight that hard against war.
And against the death penalty. I concur, Barbara. Thanks. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you hanging on there. Yeah, in fact, with when it comes to pro-choice, pro-life, she, you know, made the announcement that they were proud of Bristol for choosing to have her child. No, they shouldn't be proud of her. They should say she had no choice. Let me see. Do I have time? Yeah, let's try. Mario in Los Angeles.
Hi. Thank you for your call. Great show tonight.
I appreciate
brief.
That.
Thank
Please
you.
Do.
I feel that this Wall Street bailout, quite frankly, is a plan by Paulson and Bush to get all the money out of Social Security. You see, first of all, Paulson has been planning this emergency Wall Street crisis bailout now for 6 months now.
Yeah.
And see, there's no more money in the Federal Reserve because they bailed out AIG. And when Paulson gets access to all the money in the Treasury, this bailout will, with no oversight, eventually there'll be no more money left in the Treasury.
I hear you, Mario, and I gotta run, and you might be right, except for the fact that I don't think these guys can plan anything, much less coming up figuring out how to do this in advance. I know they had the bill in advance, but these guys are an unmitigated disaster. I want to thank here in the studio Desi Doyen and Jason Jeffries. I want to thank up in get KPHX mothership Ian Huff. I want to thank Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me the honor to sit in for Mike tonight. I'll be back tomorrow with the vice presidential debate and a bunch of bloggers afterwards. And then again on Friday, and my special thanks, because I always forget her, Agent 99 over at bradblog.com, politely manning the chat room. Delighted you could all be with us tonight. Hope you will stick with us for the rest of the week. It has been my pleasure. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We'll see you tomorrow night.